Okay, so this morning, Dovey asked me, and he said, "What did you ask me, Dovey?"
I said, "When you, I went to you and I asked,
guys,
do you know the Gemara that talks about
public avodah, public lashon
hara? Public lashon hara. Okay, good. Right, so public lashon hara, right? Now." What is public lashon hara? Why is it different? Why is this a very important sugya if we want to understand the way lashon hara works in the modern world? And that comes to a Gemara that appears in two places in Shas, which is quite shocking at first blush, and we need to understand what it means. And I assure you that if you've learned it through the Chafetz Chaim, he has a very specific view, but it's actually a very mechudash view in the Rishonim. There's a logic to it, but you need to understand where it comes from. Get me Gemara Erchen and Bovasram. Okay? You're going to have to wait because that's going to be relevant. Yes, but wait a second, okay? But as Rudy correctly notes, in order to figure out whether lashon hara works differently in public, you're going to need to understand, well, what lashon hara is. So first I'm going to ask you what lashon hara is. I'm not going to yet correct you. But first I want you to tell me what lashon hara is. Go, shoot. What is lashon hara?
Speaking to someone, one person talking to another person, that is a third person, in a way that reflects speaking with a negative. Describing the third person to the second person in a way that makes the second person think negatively about the third person.
Saying something negative
about the third person to the second person.
I say something to Ezra about you.
Yes. Makes Ezra think about me negatively.
Gossip. Negative gossip. Okay, fine. Yes. Where I speak to I say something to Ezra about Moshe. Good. Bad. Very good. That is, whose position is that? Who thinks that that's what Lashon Hara is? The Rambam. And who adopts that position? The Chafetz Chaim. Very good. Right. The Rambam says it's in the seventh parak of Hilchot Deot. Right. And this is the Chafetz Chaim's definition that he accepts. How does he distinguish it? Now, what pasuk is Lashon Hara derived from? 1 second. Lo teilech rachil ba'amecha, don't be a gossip monger or whatever amongst your people. Literally, rachil doesn't mean that. Literally, rachil means a peddler. We'll come back to that, but basically because you peddle information. Yes? There are two other relevant categories, which are, within the Rambam, motzi shemra, which is? Would you say false information? Rechilut?
It's almost like you're just...
Yeah, it's like where I make you feel think badly about someone else by like telling him that he spoke about you, right? I didn't just say something bad. I say you spoke about Ezra or something like that, right? Is Rechilut, right? Thank you. Right? That is the Rambam and Chofetz Chaim's taxonomy to define this thing called Lashon Hara. Yes, Ezra.
According to the Rambam, must one purposely go around collecting information about someone just to consider Lashon Hara?
So, no. Presumably not, right? I thought you were going to ask something else, which is what happens if I gather the information with no intent to share, right? Meaning, whether I had information. Now, that is an interesting question. It was first asked by Rabbi Yaakov Chagiz in the Halachot Ketanot. It's a very important tshuva. Maybe we'll get to it. But keep that in mind. What? Okay. But so far, Lashon Hara, if we follow the Rambam's model, right? Lashon Hara is true gossip. Motzi Shem Ra is false gossip, slander, right? Rechilut is where...
It's neutral stuff, but it can happen.
Well, it's not necessarily neutral, but like I tell you that he's speaking about you, right? It's negative, but not like something he did, but yes, it causes it. Fine. That's Rechilut. Yes? Okay. You should know that one of the big problems in the sugya is this is not a definition that is accepted by all the Rishonim, maybe not even the majority of Rishonim. Okay? So, for example, the Stechemid notes that Rashi seems to very clearly reject this in Shabbat, and Daf Lamed Gimel, where Rashi seems to think that Lashon Hara is slander, is false information, right? Motzi Shem Ra is true information. Try that again, right? Then Motzi Shem Ra is true information, right? Now, this has a nafkamina, because the Yerushalmi says that if someone violates Motzi Shem Ra, you never have to forgive them. Most sins, you have to be, right, you have to grant people forgiveness. You don't for Motzi Shem Ra, which according to the Rambam means slander, according to Rashi. Means true information. Yes, where does Motzi Shem Ra come from? So the classic case of Motzi Shem Ra is where a husband lies about his wife that she was not a virgin when they got married, right? But whether that's what it means in the rest of the sugya, when it says lohotzi shemra or la'a, lohotzi la'az, right? In all those cases in the Gemara, it's not clear that it means the same thing, and it's not clear that it's exclusive, right? It could be the motzi shemra would also be true information. In that context, obviously not. But this is important, right? And as we're going to see in just a minute, based on this sugya, there are two very different, that position at least somewhat is in the same ballpark. We'll see that there are two very different positions in Rishonim, that of the Urayim and that of the She'iltot, right? The She'iltot's position, which is Dafka, accepted by many Rishonim, at least as a secondary understanding, but that is based on the very shocking Gemara that we have here that appears twice in Shas. So, the main sugya of Lashon Hara appear in Erechet, starting on Tetvav Amud Bet, and going on for several blot. This is Bechara. That's not what I'm looking for. So the Gemara in Erechen says the following, okay? Heichi dami lishna bisha. Okay, so in Aramaic, ra is bish. So lishna bisha is? Lashon hara. Very good. So what is lashon hara? Okay, so now, if you were the Rambam, what you would expect the next words to be? True negative, something like that, right? Great. So the Gemara says, Amarava, Rabamar, Kigon Damar, example. What he said, Ika Nura Be Planya. If you say there is a fire in his house. Okay? Now that means, as the Rishonim understand it, not like his house is burning down, but he's cooking. Hey, he's cooking something. There's a fire on his stove. That is Lashon Hara. Yes, thank you. The Gemara says, Amar Le Abaye, my ka'avid. And what exactly is he doing wrong by that? Diluye Milta Pe'alma. Who? That is just conveying information? Like, I don't understand. He is cooking. Oh, good. So Rashi says, well, it's not just cooking. It's the mashma shirhu, the kol sha matsui esh beveto levash shel tefshin. He's rich, so he's always cooking. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. No, not quite, right? And he says, and Rashi continues, what is gilui milta ba'amahu? Ho'il ve'ina om rabba lashon hara. He's not saying it negatively. Elo megale lo tanshim of action, or people need a flame. Right, this is like a minog kavua in my house every year since I've lived in Dagon, right? Inevitably, the second day Rosh Hashanah starts, someone knocks on my door because someone forgot to leave a two-day yahrzeit candle because Israelis are very bad at remembering what it's like to have a two-day yahrzeit because Rosh Hashanah is the only one they have, right? So if someone said, well, where is there a fire? I forgot to leave a fire on. And as we know that on Yom Tov, you are midoraita, you can light a fire, but midorabanan, you can only spread a fire because there's nisr molid derabanan, that you can't create a new fire. Fine. So who has a pre-existing flame, right? So is that lashon hara? Oh, the Zirings have a yahrzeit candle going and they are chutznikim, so they know how to leave a 48-hour candle and not a 24-hour candle. Oh, go to their house. Lashon hara. Marz, I don't understand. Gilui milta baumahu. That's just telling information. Yes. Very good. Very good. So you could say there's some implication of bad, or maybe you just don't want everyone knocking on your door, and they're creating a situation you're going to be annoyed. Whatever. So Ella demafik belish nabi. So the Gemara says it must be that he said it as lashon hara, right? As Aryeh said, right? He said it in some way that you have to understand it negatively, right? Not like he's cooking, like that's obvious. It's like he's a glutton. He's always cooking or something like that. I don't know, right? Now, what's weird from this Gemara already is that if I asked you, okay, let's think very systematically, like the Rambam. If you asked the question, what is Lashon Hara? What would you expect?
The Rambam to say, or from this?
Anyone who thinks systematically. If the Gemara, if I had a Gemara that said, what is Lashon Hara? What do you expect?
Negative.
Forget what the Rambam would put in. What type of answer do you expect? A rule, a definition, a classic case. Not a case where we have to like bend over backwards to figure out how that was Lashon Hara. Like, what is going on, right? So right off the bat, even though the Gemara says, how, what is Lashon Hara, it may be that what the Gemara is really saying is, what are the, what is the outer outer extent of Lashon Hara, right? Like, how far does it go? And you, it's obvious, or we really don't understand what the words Lashon Hara mean, right? And therefore, this actually is a typical case, in which case we got to figure out, why would that be typical? We won't know that until the next slide, okay? So the Gemara then says, okay. Right, the Amari, it said, Heika mishtach nura ela bevad. There's only a fire there. Deika bisre vechavre. Oh, he has so much meat there. Okay. Then Rabba says the magic law. Amar Rabba. Kol milta dimit amre ba'ape mara. Anything that is said in the presence of the person about whom you are speaking. Let ba mishum lishna bisha. There is no Lashon Hara. Nikuda, Sof Sibor. If I say it in front of you, no Lashon Hara. Okay? The Gemara says, really? So if I insult Moshe to his face, or no, I insult Moshe to Avi. I say something terrible about Moshe, right? And Moshe's right here. The Gemara says, Amar le kol shekein chutzpah b'lashon b'isha. No, that's actually Lashon Hara plus chutzpah, right? That's not Lashon Hara. That is like Lashon Hara on steroids, right? And he says, nishtakasha. No, I stand by what I said. Amar le ana ki Rabbi Yossi sfirli. I hold like Rabbi Yossi. The Amar Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi said, I never said anything and had to turn around.
You don't have to worry that they're near
you. Now, if you just had that line, Amar Biosi, right? The Gemara says, anything I say in front of someone is not Lashon Hara. What's the proof? Because Rabbi Yossi said, I would never say anything and have to look over my shoulder. Meaning, I'm happy to say, meaning, if I don't have to look over my shoulder, then it's not Lashon Hara. If I froze you in time, and you forgot everything you ever knew about Lashon Hara, and I asked you right now, based on Rabbi Yossi's statement, what is Lashon Hara?
Insults.
What? Not an insult. Well, why would you say insult? Okay, so Moshe says, it's specifically what? Yes. So specifically, so one possibility. So now we're going to get to our next definition, okay? So, one second. So Moshe suggests, one second, that based on that line, okay, Lashon Hara is not an insult. If it's an insult to your face, that may be usher, but that is something else. That's called that's chutzpah. That's what we call in Baba Bacha, oh, not dvarim, right? Where, right? What's oh, not dvarim?
Verbal affliction.
Verbal abuse. Sure. Verbal affliction. Verbal abuse. Okay. Verbal abuse. It's a better word. Okay. Verbal abuse. Right? So it might be verbal abuse for me to just make fun of Moshe mercilessly to his face. It probably is. I was told that I'm supposed to, you know, people want me to just like, you know, rip into people because they
very much.
Aren't you able to do that for Hinoch?
What?
For Hinoch, you can like.
No, they just want to see how Harif I can be.
Yeah. You wait a day and then you slap them, so you know that it was for the truth.
One second. But Moshe suggests, maybe, look, if I insult somebody to my face, to their face, that's not dvarim, that's whatever. That's not Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is only, according to Rabbi Yossi, if I am two-faced. If I am not willing to say it to your face. Right? Then it's Lashon Hara. That's the only thing of Lashon Hara. And that happens to be the position of the Urayim, Rabbi Elazar of Metz, right? Who's a Balatosfo. So listen to what he says. Okay? He says as follows. After quoting Rabbi Yossi, he says, Perush. What does it mean that he would never turn his back to look over his shoulder? Lirot im yavo oto ploni sh'amarti alav. Shelo amarti davar shelo ayiti omer bifnei bailim. Dahachi kaimalan da'akam le rava kavate. Right, the only thing that's Lashon Hara is if I'm not willing to say it to your face. If I'm willing to say it to your face, then it's not Lashon Hara. Might be something else, right? But it's not Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is only saying negative things about people if I wouldn't be willing to say it to your face. So if I have no compunctions whatsoever about insulting to your face, right, then, okay, call me a lot of things, but do not call me a Baal Lashon Hara. That I am not. I have integrity. I have integrity, sir. Right? I will say whatever I am thinking. Right? Pemale. What? I have principles. I may not be nice, but I have principles. Right? Yeah, that's the your aim. Yes, Mordecai.
Okay, so is it safe to say that Rava, when he's saying a statement in Rabbi Yossi, is only saying it on this average case?
No. No, not for the Urayim. You'll see that someone will. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. For not for the Urayim. Tosfot is going to say what you're saying, but hold that thought. Okay? Yes. Hold the thought.
Is it that I don't care what the other person thinks, or that I don't think the other person will care?
You're with Tosfot and Mordechai. Hold that thought. The Urayim doesn't seem to care. The Urayim is like, look, if I'm willing to say it to your face, that's fine. Right? If I'm willing to say it to your face, that is fine. Or it's not Lashon Hara. I don't know if it's fine. Okay? It was Avi made Avi first. And then also Avi. Yeah.
Shortly after the second one, they don't know how Tzara'at works.
We're not talking about Tzara'at.
Isn't it Lashon Hara?
No. 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 This Gemara has seven different sins that cause Tzara'at. Lashon Hara is only one of them.
My point is,
and they don't have Tzara'at now. No.
I know, but based off of Tzara'at, you should be able to figure out what Lashon
Hara is. Oh, no, I don't know. But, yeah, Avi. Yeah. No, I didn't say that yet. I didn't say that yet. Hold that thought. I didn't say that yet. I didn't say anything yet. We're going to get there. We're going to get to the next line. We haven't gotten to the next line yet. Yes, Rudy.
What if it's something good? Like, what if I don't want to say it to the person because they're very humble? So I don't want to tell them that I want
to So maybe that would not be Lashon Hara because presumably it wouldn't fall in the language of Hara. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, yeah, that you only say Miksat Shiv Kol B'Fanav. Yeah, right. We only praise people partially. Okay, yeah, it could be. Obviously, look. Obviously, according to the Ram, you're not going to say that everything that I'm not willing to say to your face is Lashon Hara. Meaning, if I'm throwing a surprise birthday party for Nadav, okay? Right?
I can't hear it.
Exactly. I don't want to say that to his face. It's not because it's bad. It's because then it's not a surprise. Sorry. I ruined it. Got it? Fine. Right? So obviously, not everything that it's I wouldn't say to your face, right, is not, you know, is Lashon Hara. Obviously, it should be Ra. Right? Meaning, if it's unambiguously, if it's like, right? If it's a surprise, right? Then presumably that's not Lashon Hara. It's a surprise, right? And it's not like, presumably also there you would say, well, it's not like I'm never going to tell you, right? I'm going to tell you when I scream surprise, right? Like, I will say that to your face, right? Ah! Yeah, exactly, right? Now, the next line in the Gemara, though, is very important. Okay, because the Gemara then continues, and this is the most complicated line, but you'll understand in a second why, according to the Urayim, it makes a lot of sense. Amar Rabba Barbar Huna, Amar Barbar Huna. Rabba says in the name of Rav Huna that Kol Milta Dimit Amra Ba'ape Tlata. Anything that is said, what?
The chond is Shemitah. So just
okay.
Throw it out.
Anything that is, what is still Shemitah now? From vegetables.
Yeah.
Potatoes. Okay.
And onions.
Got it. That makes sense.
Did anybody knock
out? So he says, right, because those last for a long time. So yeah. So he says, Kol milta dimit ame ba'abe klata. Anything that is said in front of three people, lit ba mishum lishnabisha, has no lashon hara.
Can I get some
My taima, what's the reason? Chavre chavra itle, v'chavra dechavre chavra itle. Your friend has a friend, and your friend's friend has a friend. Your friend's friend has a your friend has a friend, and your friend's friend has a friend. Wait, guys. Okay, now, what is the problem? There's a lot of problems with that line. Okay, but what is the problems? Now, kol milta dimit amrei rapreit tata litva mishum lishna bisha. Anything said in front of three people is not loshon hara. There's an ambiguity inherent in that sentence, and that is...
Is it already known, or is it your own?
No.
Does it have to be three people you know? Can just
no. Come on, there's a more fundamental ambiguity. Before you get there, kol milta dimit amra ba'ape tlata. Anything said in front of three...
Literally anything.
Right, kol milta. Okay, Moshe, you missed it. But the next line in the Gemara is Rabba says, kol milta bit amra ba'ape tlata, lit b'mishum lishna bisha. Anything said in front of three people does not have lashon hara. My time, why? Chavreich, chavra itle. Your friend has a friend. The chavre chavra itle. Your friend's friend has a friend. What? So what's the big ambiguity? What's the ambiguity here?
Why?
What does it mean, lit b'mishum lishna bisha? What is not lashon hara?
The word.
What words? That who's saying?
That you.
Who's you?
Anything said, it doesn't say you say things.
Who? Is it the original speaker? Or? No. Is it that if I say something in public, it's not Lashon Hara? Or once it was said in public, it is no longer Lashon Hara?
No. It's obvious because of the reason.
What is the reason exactly? Pray tell, what is the reason?
The reason is that it's going to spread.
To who?
Back to the original person. Where does it say
that? Uh-huh. Who says that? Who says that?
Okay,
it's a, who? But who does that work according to? Who I'm in the middle of explaining?
The Polytosfos.
Urayim. Because the Urayim says that what is Lashon Lahara? Anything that I'm afraid to say to your face. So if I say it and Moshe is literally in front of me, it's not Lashon Hara. But if I announce it, Moshe happens to not be here, and I announce it in yeshiva, then it's also not Lashon Hara. Why?
Because
he's going to find out, which means that I'm not afraid to say it to your face. You happen not to be here, so I'll insult you in front of everybody else. Right? That's fine. So, right? So, possibility one, okay? According to the Urayim, that Lashon Hara is not what any of you ever knew. But Lashon Hara is simply saying something negative about something that you aren't willing to say to their face. That's Lashon Hara. Okay? His source is twofold. One is Rabbi Yossi. Right? There Rabbi Yossi says that I never had to turn around to see whether you were there because I don't care. I'll say it to your face. And if I say it in front of three people, that shows that because I know it's going to get out, it's going to get back to Moshe. Sorry, I'm picking on Moshe. Right? I'll pick on someone else soon. I'm still picking on Moshe right now. Wait. Right? But because I know that it'll get back to Moshe, so even if I didn't say it to his face, if I know it's going to get back to him, then I'm not being two-faced. So it's not Lashon Hara. Right? And that is how the Urayim understands the
Sugya. Understood?
So therefore, right? What? That's it. Now, behind something back, it could be that he's not there. But as long as I know it's going to get back to him, and I'm still willing to say it. Right?
If I say it to his face also, it's fine.
Yeah. It's not Lashon Hara. It might be something else, but it's not Lashon Hara. Yes.
They stated clearly that the reason why it's okay is because it'll get back to you.
No.
That's
no. Your aim is saying. All the Gemara says is, why is it not Lashon Hara?
The other option could be that it's
because friends of friends of friends of friends. That's all the Gemara tells you. Thank you. Thank you, right? So according to Urayim, he says, well, what does it mean? Friends, your friends will hear and your friends' friends will hear. Exactly. The person who about whom it is said will hear about it, which means that I'm not afraid of him getting back to him, which means it's not Lashon Hara, because Lashon Hara is just... Very good. Now, that is possibility one. Okay, that is shita. That is one shita that we have now explained from beginning to the end of this Gemara. That is the shita of the Urayim. To say Lashon Hara is only to be two-faced. Give me 1 second. Before you take a question, I need to throw one more Gemara into the mix. Really, there are a lot more, but I'm going to throw in one more main Gemara. No, I just took the Erechin again. Yep. So the Gemara in Bava Batra says as follows, okay? So the third parak of Bava Batra, what is the topic of the third parak of Bava Batra? Cheskat HaBatim, right? Which is? What? It's
and there's the
squatter's rights, broadly speaking.
You're not
fine. Cases in which squatter's rights provides evidence that you really own the field. Yeah. Fine. So if you dwell on a field
for 3 years,
so then you are right. Well, the burden of proof. You are presumed to be the owner, and now the previous owner has the burden of proof to prove that you are not the owner.
So you have a time.
Okay? Well, great. So let's say Josh, who wants me to pick up
him? Woo! Come on!
Josh is squatting right now in the beautiful vineyard that until a few years ago was David's.
Of course it
is. David, however, so if David is home and he sees Josh squatting in his land, what do you do, David?
I bring my shotgun.
You bring your shotgun. Very good. Thank you. Right? You say, my bite, Bahar Ira. What are you doing here? Right? But let's say that you are traveling the world, right? David has stayed in Israel, has gone to the army, and now he's on his post-army tiyul around the world, because this is the Minhag HaOlam in Israel. So he is now deep somewhere in the mountains of Nepal, right? Or whatever, Brazil, I don't know, wherever, right? He's somewhere. He's not coming back to deal with it, right? But now he wants. So what does he do? He's mocha.
He doesn't. You mean once he hears about it?
Once he hears about it, he protests, right? He makes a mocha. Right. Now the Gemara asks, okay, but how does he make a mocha? In front of how many people does he have to make a mocha?
No,
you
need a basic.
You only need two.
So the Gemara says, so first the Gemara says, wonders whether you have to make the macha specifically in front of the person, right? In front of Josh. Okay? But then the Gemara says, no, you don't have to do it in front of him. So how many people do you have to do it in front of? Right? Let's say you're not doing. So the Gemara says, Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Micha Abakama. Did Rabbi Yochanan say how many people you need to witness to be present? I'm going to hold that. Be present for the Micha.
What's the difference between being present and witnessing?
What are you going to see in a second? Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Micha Bifnei Shnayim. Possibility one?
Oh, because it's two.
Two. Rabbi Avahu Amar Rabbi Yochanan Micha Bifnei Shlosha. Micha must be done in front of. Three. Okay. So the Gemara is going to have many different possibilities of what this is, right? In Lamdos, is it Edut? Is it Beit Din? All types of interesting possibilities you could come up with. But the Gemara's first suggestion is Lema, let us say, Bidi Rabba Barahuna Kamiflage. They're arguing about Rabba Barahuna's principle, which is the Amar Rabba Barahuna Kol Milta Dimit Amra Pe'apet Lata Litba Mishum Lishnabisha. That anything said in front of.
So the Gemara's where I told you they were.
Exactly.
You were very surprised.
What?
You were very amazed. Not
it was
surprised. Okay. Anyways, that they're arguing about Rabba's principle about whether something said in front of three is Lashon Hara. Man Yamar Bifnei Shnayim Litle Di Rabba Baravuna. The one who says two rejects the principle of Rav Huna. Uman the Amar Bifnei Shlosha, and the one who says it's in front of three, Itle Deraba Bar Rav Huna. He holds of Rav Huna's principle. The Gemara says, Lo, Dechulei Amar Itle Deraba Bar Rav Huna. Everyone agrees with Rav Huna. that three is what makes it not Lashon Hara. This is what they're arguing about. According to the one who is in front of two, Kisavar Micha'a Shelo Bifanav, Lo Havi Micha'a. The one who says that if it's in front of two, it's not Micha'a, says, right? That Micha'a not in front of you doesn't count. Mandar Mifnei Shlosha Kisavar Micha'a Shelo Bifanav, Havi Micha'a. So the Gemara says, okay. Ibai Rema, alternatively, to Chulei Amo Micha'a Shelo Bifanav, Havi Micha'a. Everyone agrees that it's Micha'a. What are they arguing about? The one who says you need two says you need witnesses. What you need is gilui milta. Is that everyone will hear about it? And the Gemara goes on. Now, what's the problem? What is the problem with this whole Gemara?
Is it actually Lashon Hara?
Okay, whoa. I'll put it more broadly. What does this have to do with Lashon Hara? Right? Now, Mordechai says, well, the simplest understanding is that Micha'a is somehow Lashon Hara. I mean, right, because otherwise, right, but that seems to be weird, right? No. Now, it could be, because I guess Micha'a is sort of like negative, I mean, I guess. I mean, maybe it's not Usher Lashon Hara, but it is negative information about somebody or something, right? But, right, what is the principle? The Gemara goes on, but right, what is the principle here?
Is this information that's actually going to be getting back to the guy that's
right. So, right, the Gemara seems to be saying, well, let's see. If you assume that what? Micha'a needs to get back to the person, then maybe...
If it's less than that, it could be that the reason why it's three is so that way it's public. And once it's public, then it's okay. Not that it has to get back to the...
So it could be, right, that it's public, right? Or it could be that it's public and... And it will, all right, and it will get back, right? The assumption is that it will get back to the, and so the Rashbam, for example, says, yeah, that's the issue, right? We'll get more into the Rashbam in a second, but the Rashbam says, no, that's the issue, right? The issue is, look, just like by Lishna Bisha, the point is that I want it to get back. I need it to be public, but so that I'll get it back too. So that David will get it back to Josh, that Josh will know to hold on to his shtar to prove that it's his, right, and that he's not just squatting, but he's actually a legitimate owner. Right? We need to make sure that Josh finds out about it. In order for Josh to find out about it, it needs to be public because David is in Nepal. Right? So therefore, the same principle at work, that three makes it public, is true here as well. Okay? Now, this communicates a little bit of a problem, however, because it's not obviously, in any way, shape, or form, about Lashon Hara, right? We borrow a certain principle, but it's not obvious what that tells us, because it's not...
Not focused on it.
Yes. So...
I'm a little lost,
assuming it has the same reason, right?
Okay, you want to try it again?
The case is confusing me a bit.
Okay, so again, the Gemara... David owns a vineyard. Josh is living in vineyard. In an ideal situation, David, in order to stop Josh from claiming rights to it, has to say, Josh, that's mine, right? At which point he says, Josh, that's mine. Josh is now on notice that if he wants to continue living there and prove that it is, at some point David's going to take him to court, so he'd better hold on to his evidence, even past the 3 years, right? Once he makes a macha, it registers a protest. Right? Once he lodges a protest... So then the 3 years is not sufficient, right, for Josh to get the presumption granted by the squatting.
What if I have, like, a piece of the land from, like, my ancestors?
Doesn't matter, because you could have sold it. That's the point. Right, the whole point is that the reason that you having a deed doesn't help is because... Okay, I probably should give more background. Yeah. The Gemara's assumption is that David has a deed, right? But David could always sell it, right, to Josh. And Josh no longer has a deed.
How I have it.
What?
How would I have it if I sold it?
So it's not like it's not like now, right? You have some sort of document that your great-great-great-grandparents owned it. But not, right? It's not like the deed is registered in the, right, in the land registry.
If I owned it and then I sold it, assuming they would give it to Josh.
Right? Not necessarily, right? You'd write a new document that says you sold it to him, right? So now, within 3 years, in order, if you come and say, Josh, this is my property, and you take Josh to court, the court will say, Josh, what are you doing? We knew this was David's property, and now you're living there. Prove that it's yours. So Josh has to pull out his document of sale. If you come to him 10 years later, and you haven't protested, and the court says to Josh, where's your proof that the land was sold to you? Josh just says, Josh says, I don't have it. I lost it. Who cares? But I've been living here, and he said nothing for more than 3 years. So the burden of proof is on him that I didn't buy it from him. So right, that's a chazaka.
Once you make the macha, you have 3 years to take it.
Once you make a macha, the 3 years are broken. Right? If within the first 3 years, David lodges a complaint,
then Josh
always has to prove.
But if it's that is it. 3 years and I make a macha,
right? But if he waits for 3 years.
Okay, so if you have a macha within the first 3 years of David finding out that Josh is living in his vineyard.
Let's assume the 3 years of him squatting. The question of him finding out is part of this complicated sugya, but let's make it easier.
Okay, so
let's make it easy. That's part of the chayrum, shara chayrum sugya. I don't want to get into it. Let's just make it easy. David did hear within 3 years and lodged a protest.
Right, so then he has forever.
So the ideal case would be where David just goes to Josh and lodges a complaint to Josh. What?
I want my property. It's not ideal.
Right, in that case, Josh is now on notice, and he needs to provide evidence that the field is his. Yes?
Sure.
Rabbi, I just want to interject here.
No. Not right now. I'm going to clarify this. If, however, David can't lodge the complaint directly to Josh, for whatever reason, he's not there, right? Then the Gemara wants to know, how do you do it? So the Gemara suggests, according to some, you have to do it in front of two people, and so according to some, in front of three. Yes? The Gemara says, why would you say three? Because of the principle that Rabbah has by Lashon Hara. And what everyone has to figure out is, what does Macha have to do with Lashon Hara? Why does the fact that Lashon Hara...
You want to do it in front of two, because then there's less people to spread it?
You want it to be spread.
You're supposed to get back to him.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Oh, they're going to get back to him.
Okay. Yeah, right? You want it to spread. That's the whole point. So therefore, we say, well, if you hold of Rabbah's principle, that means that three. Now, presumably that means, according to the first Shita, he also wants it to spread. He just thinks two is sufficient, or something like that, right? But the question you got to figure out, well, what is the link between these two? Okay, Kobe, you had a question? No. Okay, then Josh's hand up, then Rudy. Yes.
So why is three the point where it switches to five? Isn't that two?
I don't know.
Because he still has friends.
Hold the thought. I don't know.
When you say two, are you including the guy himself or not?
He still has friends.
No. Probably not. But
if you're including the guy himself, it doesn't make sense because it's a one-on-one conversation, and it's probably going to be more
right. So
one or two, then it seems like
right. So not so obvious, but hold the thought. Okay? Yes, Rudy.
So, quick thing. One, this is still a problem in modern times. America has...
I'm not jumping to that. No. I'm not jumping to that. That's the whole point. I want to build it from the ground up. Yes.
Can women be witnesses in this case?
This is not... For Macha, no. For Macha, presumably not.
Well, Macha's like witnesses, then
yeah. I mean, if it's... Right, if it's Gili Milta, maybe. Yes.
Right.
Right, if it's Sade, then probably not. If it's the other thing, if it's Gili Milta, probably yes. Well, Lashon Hara, for sure they can. Right? I mean, can't, whatever, yes. Okay. So, okay, guys. So, at this point, Kobe, Mordechai, and Moshe, I think, was it you? Yeah. All have basically intimated that have gotten to Tosfot. Tosfot now, I will introduce Pshat 2 into all these sugyot. Tosfot looks at all these sugyot and he says, wait a second, okay? I have a problem. The Gemara in Bava Batra is not obviously talking about Lashon Hara, right? The Gemara in Erechin, which is definitely talking about Lashon Hara, is weird. Why is it weird? Because it's, A, it doesn't set it systematic, and the case that it comes up with is so weird and borderline Lashon Hara, right? There's something cooking in his house. I mean, what are you talking about, right? Why is that Lashon Hara, right? So what is going on here? So where'd he go?
Right there.
Oh, there you are, right? So Tosfot says, aha, this sugya has nothing to do with classic Lashon Hara. Nothing. Lashon Hara is always Asur. That's not the issue here.
What does he mean? Like, does he define Lashon Hara?
So it goes like this. No. But what he says is like this. Okay. He says, no. Both sugyot are about a very specific type of Lashon Hara. Right? And that is something which is borderline. Mm-hmm. Something which could be Lashon Hara, or it could be.
How do you know if it's borderline?
Right? It could be meant as an insult, or it could be just legitimate information. Right? Now, So, Tosfot said, both sugyot are talking about that case. And here's the key. Regular Lashon Hara, right? I just say something bad about someone. It doesn't matter if I say it in front of one. It doesn't matter if I say it in 10. It's Lashon Hara. But when something is borderline, it could be taken as positive, or it could be taken as negative, or it could be taken as negative, or it could be taken as neutral. What is the test to figure out whether it's Lashon Hara? If I would say it in front of him, if I would say it publicly, right? Something which is unambiguously insulting, right? That's just Lashon Hara, right? But if there's something which is ambiguous, so if it's ambiguous and I'm willing to say it in your face, it's probably positive. So if I say there's always a fire, right? There's always a stove on at the Feder household, right? I could mean, oh, that gluttonous family, right? They're always having a barbecue all day. They just are eating and eating and eating and eating, right? Right? Or whatever. Or I could be saying, you know, the Faders are such wonderful hosts. It doesn't matter when you show up at their house, right? They'll get a warm meal, right? The best meal you've ever had ready for you, right away. They're just the type of people they are, right? So if I'm saying that the Feder household is a gluttonous household, I probably am not going to say that to Ezra's face. Probably. I think not.
Not Ezra.
It's a wonderful house. I've been there many years ago, and you were like this big. But you know, I was at your house. What? I don't know. You tell me. It was Shavuot, first night of my 11th grade. So 2005.
He was born?
I was like a year old.
Yeah, you're this big. Right. Probably still this tall. I don't know. Right? What? Sounds right.
Yeah.
Fun night. Fun night. It was very classic. It was me, Aaron Friedman, Shai Horowitz, and Chaim Stauber. Okay? And I reminded your father of this story recently. Your father was, as I assume you still do on Shavuot, having milk followed by meat to follow the Ramah to make sure you have two loaves, right? So the Ramah says the reason you have dairy on, for the people who don't know, on Shavuot is to, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to use the same loaf of bread at a meat meal and a milk meal. So the Ramah says that we want to force you to make sure you have to eat from both loaves of bread on Shavuot. Zecher Shnei Lechem. Right? So what we do is we tell you to first have a dairy meal, right, with one loaf of bread, which now forces you to clear the table, take out the second loaf of bread and eat that with the meat meal. Yes?
No. If it's not happy.
What? Okay, that's the Ramah. Got it? Fine. So we, before the meal, your father was like, well, this is what we're going to do, and we'll have to come up with some sort of break, some sort of hefsek between the dairy meal and the meat meal. I don't know what we're going to do, but we'll find some break. Okay? As we're finishing the, like, cheese souffle thing, right? The oven starts smoking like crazy because the cheese overflowed and fell onto the bottom of it. Oh. So the smoke then escapes and the fire alarm goes off. At which point, Aaron Friedman gets up with a pillow to start waving the smoke away from it, right? And hit the light bulb, which then shattered into a million pieces on the carpet, which your father then took outside to shake off the glass. 45 minutes later, we're like, well, that would be our hefsek, and then we continued our meal. Right? So I will never forget this quite scene. It was like a comedy of errors that went on.
You always have a fire going in there.
Yes, exactly. Right? So. What? So. So if I'm just saying, yes, there's always a fire there. It's just, it's always a blast at their house, right? So that I would say to Ezra's face, right? But if I'm saying they're a glutton, that's the thing I wouldn't say to his face. So Tosafot said, the Gemara isn't asking what's Lashon Hara. The Gemara is saying, what is the type of Lashon Hara that is borderline such that you need context to tell you whether it was meant as Lashon Hara or not? And that is the Gemara in Erechin, which is, there's a fire in the house, which could is ambiguous. So there, Rabbi Yossi says, if I'm willing to say it to your face, or I'm willing to say it publicly and no one will get back to you, so then it's fine. Right, so he says, one second, Perish, Gedon Chayagavna, Didnura Be Planya, only this case is in front of three. The Ikala Mashma, De La Orma Mishum Lishna Bisha. It's something that might not be Lashon Hara, I didn't mean it badly. So then, Avalim Omer, Davar Kanetar, if I said something that's really insulting, like clearly insulting, a Chaver, or Afiloya Omra Befana, then even if I said it to your face, it be Mishul Lishna Bisha. That's Lashon Hara. Right? So Tosafot seems to hold like the Rambam. Let's say, let's for argument's sake, the Lashon Hara is negative information. Negative. The only time that this sugya is relevant is the only that is number of people and any that is relevant is if I am willing to say it in public or to your face in a case when it's ambiguous, whether I mean it as an insult or not. So then context, right? The fact that I don't care that you find out, that shows it's not Lashon Hara. And similarly, in the Gemara Bava Batra, the same thing is true of Macha. Because why is he saying Macha? Is he saying it because he has a legitimate legal claim? Though then you don't care, then David doesn't care to say it publicly, to say it to your face, right? But if David is just trying to either to try to steal it or try to make people think that Josh is a thief, but he doesn't really have a legal claim, then he's going to try to, you know, find some legal way of registering a complaint that he can sue the back door. He can bring a complaint, but he's not going to want to publicize it to the world. So both cases are ones of an ambiguous statement, right? And their context matters. Okay? Now, according to both the Urayim, okay, according to both the Urayim and Tosfot, Kol Milta Dimit Amra Ba Peitlata Lizma Mishum Lishna Bisha means that if I, the speaker, say it in front of three people, then either according to the Urayim in all cases, or according to Tosfot in ambiguous cases, then what?
It's not Lashon Hara.
It's not Lashon Hara. Right? Yes. Can someone just get me water? From my
related,
yeah. Thanks, Ezra.
While we were talking earlier, with the machlokes between Rambam and Rashi, both these cases that we brought as edge cases of Lashon Hara are truths, depending on the context, it would be Lashon Hara, mm-hmm. but they are truths. So how can Rashi say that it's slander? Rashi was saying that
Rashi in Shabbat says the language of Lotzi Shemra can mean true information, right?
Oh wait,
no, that doesn't mean Lashon Hara isn't. So Sefer Hasidim specifically argues that Lashon Hara is what the Rambam calls Rechilut, right? Motzi Shemra is what the Rambam calls Lashon Hara, and Lashon Hara is what the Rambam calls Rechilut. Mm-hmm.
So
according to Rashi, it's not clear. It could be that both what we call Lashon Hara and Motzi Shem Ra are both under mm-hmm. Motzi Shem Ra. It could be that he thinks the terms are more ambiguous. Right? So there are nafkaminas. Right? And the Yerushalmi term. Mechila, there are important. But also, just in certain cases, it's important to know. So I pointed this out to someone many years ago. He wrote an article where he pointed out that the Mordechai says that it's Atzer Lahutzi Shem Ra Al HaMeitim, right? That you can't be Motzi Shem Ra on the dead. Okay? So someone argued in an article that means that it's usher to say false information about the dead, but it's mutar to say negative, true information about the dead. Right? And I pointed out to him that only works if you think the Mordechai accepted the Rambam. But considering I know that Rashi and Sefer Hasidim were both Ashkenazim, and Sefer Hasidim is Dafka in Germany, right? If the terminology being thrown around in Germany is that Lahotzi Shem Ra can mean true information, right, then you can't be medayik from the Mordechai that you only can, it's only us to say false information. Right? right? So the diuk is actually important. And then I later found that Nachum Rackover made the same claim, and it's wrong for the same reason, right? Meaning it's just, it's a terminological problem.
Like say anything about like saying notation about amazing.
It's a gzera that was brought in Ashkenaz, and so Nachum Rackover wrote an article on it.
Did you tell them they were wrong?
I did. I was the editor of the journal which they were submitting.
Yes.
I don't think he bought it, but he didn't. Whatever. Long story.
Why would he publish something that
Google it right
untrue?
Now.
I think I don't think that was the year I was editor in chief. I think it was the year that my chavrusa twisted my arm and made me help him and be like the secondary editor. Because I really didn't want to do it. And the year after that, I got bullied into being the editor-in-chief. It was not. Every editor I ever have spoken to who was the editor of Beis Yitzchak at any point is like, we commiserate. Like, I was talking with Rabbi Rafi Eish, and he's like, oh, yeah, I did that too. Yeah, oh, my God. It's just like, you don't understand. It's like, it's why use Torah journal. It's not, like, short. Like, the years I published it was, like, 750 pages long. It's not like... Right, to all the Rashi, like they're all the Rashi Yeshiva and all the Kollel guys and random undergraduates, and they're all writing these long articles, and you have to go through everything. And like, that's, you know, some of them are good and some of them are terrible, and some of the articles are good, but like Ray Willig's articles are always excellent. But Ray Willig doesn't know how to type in Hebrew, so like he would give me a handwritten article. So part of being editor was I would have to first type up the article.
Oh,
right,
so
these things just take time. It's just like I am happy to do it for Ray Willig, but like it takes a long time. It's a lot of just grunt work, right? That, but there at least I learned something.
Yeah, you learned a ton of Torah.
No, I learned a ton of Torah, and then I would get to consult with him and go back, and it was great. So that's why I did it, because I have a tremendous amount of respect for him, right? But there were other articles where I would just be like,
"He's just stupid."
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, you know, some of them are fine, some of them are good, some of them are whatever, but you know.
But Rabbi Willig is always
great. Oh, Willig is always great. Don't get me wrong. It's just that it takes a long time to type. He needed someone who read his handwriting, right, which wasn't so many people, right? And, you know, like, who and like, understands what he thinks, so, like, he could, so you can realize that, like, yes, you do things like that. And then, like, but also, it's not even just that. It's, you have to get the articles from the Rosh Yeshiva, and they'll all be like, yeah, I'll get it to you next week. And, like, you got to through go every Rosh Yeshiva and be like, you know, you said you were going to get me an article, and I don't really want to go to print without you, and, like, you know, that type of thing. It's, I mean, look, it is one of the reasons that I know almost all the Rosh Yeshiva at YU, because, like, you know, over the course of several years, I had to nag them to their articles and had to their articles. So, whatever, but still, it's just like... You know, and then it's formatting and copy editing, right? And like reviewing it after it's gone to the printer. Anyways, Nuno.
Wait, so does the Sefer Chassidut say anything specific about Lashon Hara, or does
it? Yeah, about the terminology.
Oh, he has swapped with the Rambam. He says Lashon Hara
is what we call Motzi Shemra, right? Motzi Shemra is what the Rambam calls Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is what the Rambam calls Rechila, essentially. Fine. Okay. Now, yeah.
Isn't it implicit in making a Macha that it's negative about the person? So by
yes, but that doesn't mean it's Lashon Hara. It could be negative by the person, but I'm doing it in a permitted way, right? I'm allowed to make a legal claim, right? So it's not Lashon Hara. It's negative in a Hanami.
Well, and most legal claims against the other party is negative.
Yeah, and that's just the name of the game. Okay, but that's two possibilities, okay? Third possibility, which is found in Rav Chai Gaon, in the She'iltot, the Ritva on the Sugyan Bava Batra names it as one of two possibilities in what Lashon Hara means. He thinks both are true. And he says, no. You know what I learned from both of these Sugyot? That Lashon Hara is? No. Is not what you think it is at all. Lashon Hara is the Isser of Gilui Sod, of breaching confidentiality.
Oh, wow.
That's what Lashon Hara is. It's Usser to breach confidentiality. Right? And now, based on that, he says,
yeah,
right?
How do you say that from the
heart? Oh, very simple. Right? He says, what? So now he says, wait a second. Remember I told you, what does it mean that anything, right? So, you know, I'll read it to you one second. Let me just open it up. Here. Shiltot. Chavchet. So, the Shilta says, Shilta, the Asr lohom levei Yisrael, ishtuye lishnavish achar al chavrei. Right, it's usher to say Lashon Hara, .. Fine. And he says, Biram, Sarach Elohecha da Amra Lemilta Kamei Beiklata, Mao lemiza lememre lemare olach arine. So he says, here's how you read the sugya. If lashon hara is just breaching of confidentiality, so if who wants to tell me a secret?
I'll do it.
Okay, Dovi wants to tell me a secret. So if Dovi tells me a secret, just me. So now, do I have the right to go? Well, you want to tell me a secret? Is that what you're
telling
me?
Yeah.
Okay. Right? So, I'm near the recorder, so you know. Okay, right? Not a good idea. Not a good idea. Right? So if Dovi wants to tell me a secret, he just tells me. So now, am I allowed to share it with Morty? No, I'm not. Right? But what if, right? But what if Dovi says it to this entire table? Now, can one of you who wants to go share his non-secret secret, Josh, can Josh now go and tell Rabbi Ginsburg whatever it is that in confidence, Dovi said at this table? Yes, yes, because it's not in confidence. That's exactly the point. So how does Rishildo read it? He says, look, in both sugyot, the issue is secrecy, right? Is Lashon Hara means to breach confidentiality. If Dovi says it to me in private, I have to assume, that he meant it to be confidential. I cannot share it. But if he said it in public, or what is public for this purpose? Three. Once you have three, nothing is secret, right? Because even if I'm such a good person and I'm not going to share it, and Ezra is such a good person, he's not going to share it. Who wants to be the villain here? Josh again. Josh is like, look, I'm going to share the information, and then I'm going to tell Ray Ginsburg, and then when Ray Ginsburg comes and tells Dovi, and Dovi's like, who shared my secret? Josh. You're like, it wasn't me. Maybe it was Ezra. Maybe it was Rabbi Zierig. I don't know. Right? Well, suddenly, right, you said in front of three people, there is no accountability because you don't know who shared it. And suddenly, the assumption, if I said in front of three people, I threw it to the wind. Right? So now he says, so how does this help us in the case of Micha? Well, that's the whole point. I can't do it in a way that's going to be secret, because then it's a secret. It's not going to get back to him. It's not a macha. But if I say it in front of three, then it will get back to him. And if it will get back to him, so then, right, then if I know it's going to get back to him, it's not a secret, so it's a good macha. Right? So possibility three is, right, now, according to...
If there's only two people, it doesn't matter.
One second.
If you make a machal with two people, it's going to get back to him no matter what.
Not necessarily.
How else now, are you going to get your land back if he doesn't find out?
No, that's exactly the point. You're not getting him back because you didn't make a machal in a way that it'll get back to him.
Right. So obviously this isn't in a case where you're like, I'm appointing you as a messenger to
yeah, that might be different.
Right.
But, so now what do we have? Now, according to all three positions here, kol milta v'dam rabba peitlat, lid mishum lishna misha, what does it mean? That any information said in front of three is not lashon hara, either because. What does that mean? Either if it's ambiguous by saying it in front of three, I showed that it wasn't negative. If Dovi shares his secret in front of three, that shows it wasn't meant to be in confidence. And now to share it further is not usur, right? No, I'm sorry. According to the Shiltot, try that again. According to the Shiltot, it's different than Tosfot. According to Tosfot, where it's ambiguous, so what does it mean? It means that if I say it in front of three, right, then it wasn't Lashon Hara when I first said it. According to the Shiltot, what does the line mean? That if it was said in front of three, then it's no longer Lashon Hara, right? So you can now spread it. Right? And according to the Urayim, it's like Tosfot. Right? If I said it in front of three, or I said it to your face, it's not Lashon Hara. But according to Shiltot, if I say it in front of three, it is no longer Lashon Hara. Okay? But according to Shiltot, that's because it's about confidence. And if it's public, it's not. But what about Lashon Hara as the Rambam understands it? Now possibility four. According to the Rambam, as we've already said, Lashon Hara is... Negative information. So, according to
by default.
So, according to the Rambam, what does this line mean? Let's see who remembers, right?
Oh, when he says that,
I haven't said it yet, but who remembers? You guys do this with the Ray Ginsburg, ready?
No,
they're not there. Okay, so what does it say?
What does the
Rambam say? The Rambam says that what? So first of all, the Rambam agrees with the Shiltot. The Kol Mil Devadam Rebab Edlad Lidma Mishum Lishna Bisha means that if it was already said to three people, it can be shared. Right. Now you'll tell me, wait a second. That, according to Shiltot, that makes
sense
because it's about confidence. Right. But if it's about gossip and it's about saying negative information, then why is the fact that it's already...
Well, the Ram says it's also assuming your intention isn't to spread it.
Very good. So what he says is no, right? The Rambam says that what it means is, listen, it's true that I'm not supposed to say negative information, but because once it was said in front of three people, probably everyone knows about it. So then if I'm saying it, I'm not adding damage. As long as as long as I don't actually mean to spread it more. Meaning, according to the Rambam, all it means is that if it's somewhat public, to repeat that information within the circles in which is probably known, the damage is done.
So not to a new person.
Right, but
if you're making an achad, doesn't that mean like your intention by default is to have it made in the way?
No, so according to the Rambam, how would you read the sugya? You'd say, if it's gotten to the point where I made it public enough that the presumption is it can't get more public unless you make a strong effort, that's enough for it to get back to the original person or something like that, right? But according to the Rambam, again, it's about something that was already said in front of three, but he puts a huge qualifier on it, right?
The qualifier is that it's only when you think that the person you're telling it to already knows.
Correct. Right. Now, what does it mean, legaloto yoter? So this is interesting. Is it to more people, right? It could be other things. So we'll see, but some posts can suggest not just that it'll get more public, right, but maybe it will last longer, right? So, for example, let's say something fell out of the news cycle. So everyone did know it, but they're not thinking about it at this point, right? That might be, according to the Rambam, the Galil Geoter, meaning I'm bringing it back to people's mind, right? It has to be that I'm not in any way, right? By saying it again, I'm not increasing the damage of what I did.
Why would that be
okay?
Like, even if I say that to one person, and I want that one person to spread the information, then by default, that's still saying something that's negative that you intend to spread. So why is the difference between one and three people?
Say again?
Like, why does the sheer of people matter? If my intention makes it into Lashon Hara, right, as intention to want to spread this thing, then even if I say it to one person with the intention of it spreading, it should still be Lashon Hara.
But if that one person is someone that I assume didn't know it before. But if it was already, if it's already public and I say it to someone who presumably already knows, so then...
Do you assume that everyone already knows?
Wait, why does it
matter? No.
Like, if three people already know.
So, if the reality is that people know it, right, then yes. If I know that that's not the case and I want to spread it more, the Rambam says that's usher. It's just that three, one, two, seven, run of three is pretty public. And as long as I can assume that people know, but if that's not the case, right, I know that, yes, it got public in Migdal, right? But, like, right? But it hasn't yet passed to, you know, that doesn't mean I can, you know, I can send it out on, is it like some WhatsApp cross yeshiva out or something? No, thank God. Whatever it is, right?
Why does it matter if the one person knows already the thing you're saying? Because if you're saying it to this one person, even if he already knows it, the problem isn't him knowing it. The problem is other people finding out about it. So if you're telling him in order for him to spread this information...
No, so this is a little bit more complicated. So according to the Rambam, right, where does the Rambam put Hilchot Lashon Hara? In Deot, right? According to the Rambam, it's not clear how much Lashon Hara is only about damaging the other person as opposed to it being...
Spreading
knowledge. It's about you.
It's a character.
Right? It's a character flaw, right? Lesson. Yeah. So if it's a character flaw, it's not... It's about whether I'm intending on spreading it deeper and farther, right? Right? If I'm not, then what I'm doing is whatever I'm doing, but it's not that.
It shouldn't matter on the street of people to say it to
them. No. According to the Rambam, it's not who you say it to. It's who it was already said to. If the information was already said to three people, then it's public and I can spread it farther because... I can spread it because it's not farther. It's not what you say it to. According to the Rambam, it's not who you say it to. It's who it was said to.
If you're
right?
Making it public, presumably that's awesome.
Obviously, according to the Rambam, if you say it... Now, what has none of these shittos said?
Well,
theoretically, you could combine Tosfot with like the Rambam or something and say, right, Tosfot says the only time that me saying in front of three people is mutter is when it's ambiguous Lashon Hara. But theoretically, you could, in the sugya, say, as long as I say it in front of three people, it's mutter, right? That just seems to be, no one really wants to go in that direction, because why is that okay, right? I mean, except sort of, the Urayim, but that's because...
It's not Lashon Hara.
Correct, it's something else. Now, right, the Chofetz Chaim gives a very simple logic to this, right? Which is, why would the Rambam say what he says? So he says, listen, a rochel is what? As a peddler. But if someone, no one needs your wares, right? Because everyone knows, so it's just...
Right?
It's empty.
Well,
useless. You're carrying a bunch of rocks.
Yeah, it's just nothing. It's not important. Right? Now, the yeah, so the
how's the recording, man?
Yeah, now, Now, the Rabbeinu Yonah has a very long, Rabbeinu Yonah has a very long treatment of this. Rabbeinu Yonah has a very long treatment of this in two places. Okay, both in Aliyot de Rabbeinu Yonah, which is his Perish on Bava Batra, which maybe we have here, I'm not sure. And the other is in Shari Tshuva. Right, where he's similar to Tosfot, similar in the sense that he thinks that this halacha only applies in cases where there's a certain ambiguity, right? But it's not because the information is ambiguous, it's the intent is ambiguous, right? Meaning it's not, the information in Macha is actually negative, as David pointed out before, right? It's negative. David's saying that Josh stole his land. Right, but it's not that the information is ambiguous. It's that the intent is ambiguous. Right, that's the problem. It's more of a Marat Ayin problem. Right, is that I can't say negative information in a way that makes it look like I am doing it for the wrong reasons. Right, in a second argument, which is sort of like the Urayim, Rabbeinu Yonah says that it looks, if I'm not willing to say it to your face. Right? It looks like I'm trying to ingratiate myself with you. Right? Because I'm trying to, on the one hand, get my land back without actually calling you out for it. He has yet a third argument, which is very important. And that is, if I share the information in a way that's not going to be public, it's not effective. Right? So Rabbeinu Yonah seems to introduce a new category here. So we know that the Chofetz Chaim is a category which is not clear where it's from or whether it's true, but called Lashon Hara L'Toelet, that you're allowed to say Lashon Hara for a benefit. Right. So arguably, Macha'a is a case of Lashon Hara L'Toelet, or Lashon Hara for a benefit, right?
Your benefit?
What?
Or their benefit?
What?
Your benefit or their benefit?
A legitimate legal benefit.
Like
Eidud? Yeah, like Eidud. Yeah, so Eidud is Lashon Hara in potential. Right, that's clear because the Gemara in Psachim has a famous case, right, called Tuvia Chata v'Zigud Mangid, right, where Tuvia comes in, he testifies that Zigud comes in, testifies about Tuvia that he sinned in a way that would get Malkut, but he does it without a second witness, and they give Malkut to Zigud, right? And what's his reason? Because since you gave Eidud, without it being Eidud, it's just Lashon Hara, right? Right? And therefore you get Malkud. Right? And that's what he said. Tuvia Chata v'Zigud. Right? So yes. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, guys. So Rabbeinu Yonah says very simple. Right? Rabbeinu Yonah says very simple that, not very simple. He says, listen, if you say something and it seems like you're saying it in secrecy, people aren't going to believe you. And if they don't believe you, then your macha wasn't effective. Meaning, he says, Lashon Hara L'Toelet only works if people believe you. But people only tend to believe you if you seem like an above-board person. But the more you do it surreptitiously, right, the more they're not going to believe you. And if they're not going to believe you, then it was pointless, like the single aid who gives testimony. Right? Very good. Now, the biggest problem in this sugya is Tosfot in Bava Batra. Because Tosfot in Bava Batra doesn't have any of these qualifications. Tosfot in Bava Batra just says, it's mutter to say Lashon Hara in front of three people. Right? No qualifications. That's it. What he says. Right?
Wait, three or more or just three?
What? Three or more. Right?
Guys, I have a lot of stuff coming.
Now, what could that possibly mean? So what, right? What could that mean? So it's not clear what Tosu mean. Can it possibly mean that Lashon Hara is just mutter? Right? So Rav Elchanan notes that this is the symbol of Pshat and Tosfot. And then he says,
crazy.
I don't know what to do. He's like, look at the Chafetz Chaim. I don't know. That's what he says. Look at the Chafetz Chaim. He's like, I don't know. So what did the Chafetz Chaim do to this? So the Chafetz Chaim assumes that Tosfot must mean the same as the other Tosfot or something like that. He's like, it can't mean what it says. Whatever. Okay, the Rashbam is a little bit of a complicated a position that I want to get into. Now, Lehalacha, the Chafetz Chaim, comes up with a very convoluted read. Okay? Chafetz Chaim says as follows. He combines Tosfot, Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Rambam. Okay? Meaning, he limits Bap Eit Lata to cases where the information is A, not clearly negative, B, it's important to say it in public, in order to make sure that the speaker has positive intent, and three, he adds the limitation of the Rambam that you can only do that if you're not spreading it farther.
Just mock me all way. That's the Mishnah Berurah for
you. Yes. Now he also adds like 20 other conditions to this. Like when you say it, you have to share it in the exact way that it was shared. But if you are not sure that you can share it in the exact way it was shared, then you're changing it, and therefore it's usher to say it, right? And obviously you can't, and you can't say it to anybody who might exaggerate it or spin it in any way. Well, yes. Okay. Now, okay. That is the basic overview of just the main shitot in Rishonim. Now, what are the implications of that lahalacha? Right. So now, right now, your question. What? I'm going to skip the Rashbam. Okay. But based on what we've seen, okay, what are the implications for the modern world? So okay. So here it gets complicated. So now let's go through the Rishonim quickly. Okay. According to Tosfot in Erechin, okay, that, again, Lashon Hara is only, the only time that saying something publicly is at all helpful is in a case of something which is ambiguous. By saying it in public, it shows that it's not Lashon Hara. So then, if I say something publicly on my radio show, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, on whatever, right, on WhatsApp, on I don't know, Instagram, on, I don't care, right? Telegram, I don't know, whatever they have now, right?
Telegram, yeah.
What is Telegram? Someone might tell me what Telegram is.
It's the druggies.
No, it's also for far right.
What? Telegram. Oh, really? Is that what it is? I have no idea what it is. I just hear that people have it. Okay. Okay, whatever it is. So according to Tosfot, am I allowed to do that? Does it help that it's public? Anything like that?
If it's
ambiguous information. But if I am insulting you, right? Right? Guys, according to Tosfot, if I'm saying something definitely negative, I am insulting you. And I'm doing it live on my radio show, whatever, right?
On the Migdal podcast.
Sure. Is it Lashon Hara? Of course. The only heter of Bapei Tlata is...
Ambiguous.
Is where it's ambiguous. Now, if it's already been shared publicly, according to Tosfot, is there any heter?
No.
Not obviously, right? Okay. According to Rav Achai Gaon, it's about confidentiality. If something was shared already publicly, then fine, I can share it. Yes?
Yeah.
If I hold like...
Wait, if it was...
If I hold like, one second, like... The Urayim. Then what? Then if I'm willing to say it to your face,
yep.
Then it's not Lashon Hara. Might be something else, might be Ona Dvarim, but it's not Lashon Hara. Yeah? According to the Rambam,
it depends your purpose.
Depends your purpose, and it depends your audience.
Right.
Right? So, let's say something is public, but I know that I have a following of 10 million people on my channel. Right? then even though 10 million other people know it, why am I saying it on my show? Since this is your question, right? Yeah, how am I making money? Because more people are coming in. And I'm so according to Rambam, of course it's us, sir. The whole point is that if something's already public, so I can share it if it's public and I'm not spreading it more. But if I'm trying to spread it more, or I'm spinning it, or I'm trying to make sure that people are thinking about it, right? All of that is like a little yoto yoter.
I'm not saying that someone else didn't miss it.
What?
I'm not saying that someone else didn't necessarily. Saying like, oh, I heard that this person said on the radio show that they didn't look well.
Ready? Is spinning it in a specific way a problem?
What?
Spinning it in a specific way.
Wait, can you say that? That
person? Yes. Now, very briefly, guys. Very, very briefly, though, I want to throw one wrench in it, and I guess we'll stop for tonight. Okay, because this is one tiny little sugya. Really, it is. Okay, and that is that some poskim suggest that in addition to Ba'apet Klata, there's a separate category which is universally known, right? Because at the end of the day, yes, if it's in front of three people, so people know. That doesn't necessarily mean the whole world knows. Like, people know, right? But is there some threshold at which it's universally known? And at that point, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. It's not Lashon Hara, even according to the Rambam. Right. So, for example, right. Even how many years is it now? 50? I don't know. Right. Most people in America are half educated. Right. Know if I say Watergate, they vaguely know what Watergate is. Right. Right. Richard Nixon's right is the thing for which Richard Nixon was impeached. Right. Great. Now, right? You didn't know that, right?
No, I'm not even kidding.
Seriously? Oh God!
This is Los Angeles.
Oh my God! My God!
The problem with liberal education.
Richard Nixon was caught, right, spying on his opponents, and this was leaked in Watergate, and that was why the Watergate scandal was why he had to, right? Why he? Yeah, that's why everything's gate. It's after Watergate. Oh, God. Right? So, if something is universally known, is that going to be different? So, there are some poskim who suggest that yes. And he says why. So for example, Rav Azriel Ariel argues that, look, the in front of three, what does the Gemara say? Does the Gemara say it's public? The Meiri says, once it's in front of three, the whole world knows. One second. I don't want to get to that yet. It's another topic. Right? But Rav Azriel Ariel says, look, leave the Miri aside. The simple shot of Chavrech Itlay, the Chavrech Itlay, right? Your friend is a friend, your friend's a friend, is that once it's in front of three, a process has been set in motion that it will get out. Right? But it's not that it is already out. So based on that diuk, Rav Azriel Ariel argues that there's a difference between something which has been set in motion, where maybe there the Rambam will say, okay, well, I can't spread it more, because, like, sure, there's a process of motion, but if I'm facilitating that process, right, or I'm pushing it to its limits, right, that's worse. But what if that's not what it is? The whole world knows. It's not like three people knows, right? It's like everybody knows. Just everybody. Right? You know, like even people who live under a rock and don't follow the news could not help but hear about it. Right? Watergate. Sure, Watergate. Like, you know, I mean, now, in the world of, social media, right, there's a lot of news like this, where, like, things get out and, like, what? You didn't hear? Why, just this week alone, what is it? Did you hear? Kanye West is an anti-Semite. Thank you. Okay, yeah, I heard. How did I hear? I have no clue. I wasn't reading the news. I don't know, right? But somehow it seeped into the, right? Thank you. So, Rav Azriel Ariel argues that, therefore, discussing things that are on the news, even according to the Rambam, is not Lashon Hara. It's just like, you're not, you know, Hanami. And Rav Aviner also suggests that that even the Rambam might accept this, right? That there's no problem spreading it further because it's as far as it can go. And maybe the Chavetz Chaim would agree also. However, if Ariel then pulls back and he says, well, maybe not, because he quotes Avram Shapira, and I mentioned this before, who said, listen, right? He says that Avram Shapira notes that on the one hand, yes, information spreads around the world instantly. But that also means that what? That information only stays in people's minds
so long.
So long. Right? And once the next scandal has happened, give it 6 hours, right? Everyone forgot about that scandal, right? So Avram Shapira says, even if it's universally known, right? Maybe the Rambam doesn't just mean known. He means if you don't have intention to spread it more. But if it fell out of the news cycle and you're reviving it, just because I know about it, like in the back of my mind. Sure. Rav Dov Lior suggests that maybe a more mitigated view, which is, what if it's been a year? And in general, in halacha, we say the year is a time of forgetfulness. So like a year ago, everyone knew about it, but I'm bringing back into the news cycle, right? So that he said, so then Rav Dov Lior says that would be, then it would be usher. Okay. Now, of course, you could always say that there are certain ethical values. Even if it's not technically lashon hara, it's something else, right? That's true. But it's important to sort of keep this in mind. I'll throw in just one last point that is important from the Chavetz Chaim, and that is, I'll take it from Shlomo Rosner makes this diuk in the Alei Be'er. To explain the Chavetz Chaim, but I'll start with his diuk. The Gemara says that kol milta d'amri ba'apei tlata, anything said in front of three, is right lit mamishom lishna bisha. But he says there's something which is said ba'apei tlata and something which is said b'toch tlata. Mm-hmm. What's the difference?
I can say those in English.
Right, in front of three or among three. He said there's a difference. What's the difference? So he said, let's say. So he says, the Chavetz Chaim says that basically if I say something in any group in which there is no assumption that it'll get out, the fact that it was said in front of three doesn't help, right, or doesn't make it not Lashon Hara. I'll give you a very simple example. We have a faculty meeting, right? And what we say is confidential. Are there more than three people at the meeting?
Yep.
Yes. Does that mean that now everything in that meeting can be assumed to be public and I can keep, right, and anything I say about any student can now be shared. It's not confidential. It's not negative. It's not anything.
It's not only one.
Right, but you have to assume that the room is
packed. Right? So the answer seems to be no, right? That there is some sort of sensibility around it that in order for it to be mutter, it has to be three in a situation which there isn't presumed, right? It's not that I'm saying in front of three. I'm saying it among three, right? So if I have... Right, so forget us. Right, let's say you have a team of the attending doctor and the residents and the nurses, right, with very sensitive medical information about a patient. No one's going to say, "Oh, well, I can now share his sensitive information because we talked about it in the room, right, with the with the attendant and the resident and the nurse and the family." Right, everyone understands that's not. It. Now, according to the Rambam, that's pashut, because you can't spread more, right? But even according to other models, right, what he suggests is that there's a difference between in front of three, right, rather than among three, where there's an understanding that we are a group, right? And there, now, even though it's true, you could argue against this and say, if the reason it's not Lashon Hara is because we assume there's plausible deniability and therefore people are just going to spread it even though they shouldn't, so maybe you'd say it isn't, but that seems hard. Right, because sometimes there isn't, right? Right, like think about like the leak in the Supreme Court, right? Are there more than three people who knew about it? Yes, but are they running an investigation? Yes, because there was a presumption of confidentiality, right? And therefore, even if it was a larger group, right? You know, there isn't plausible deniability, or there shouldn't be, right? And therefore, they're going to investigate it because, right, there are certain times when like that doesn't work that way, okay? But the reason this is important to think about, especially the it's known to the whole world, is that a lot of the times what we're talking about and what you asked me about is not really about Beitlata, it's more than that, right? So the question is, do you buy this argument of Rav Ariel and Rav Shapira, right, and Rav Dov Lior and stuff like that, that at least under certain circumstances, there's some things which are just
known.
They're not, it's not, it was said in front of three people, right? It's that the whole world knows. And by me saying it, I'm not adding. Now, that might still forbid, as we said, bringing it up when it's out of the news cycle or resharing it in a way, obviously, which is exaggerated or twisted, or in a way that's going to make people think about it more negatively, right? All that might be true. But obviously, there is the possibility that if you really buy this argument, certain things, just because that's the nature of the news, aren't going to be mutter, okay? Can I share one more insight with you?
Yeah.
Okay. This is really a whole shiur in of itself, but I do think it's an important thing to do, and that is the following. Up till now, right, we went through different definitions of Lashon Hara, we went through Apeik Plata, we went through Wasi Shet, whatever. Most people, following the Chavetz Chaim, following the Rambam, assume that Lashon Hara is Aser, even though it's true. Right? Rabbi Daniel Feldman, in his book that came out a few years ago, False Facts and Something. False Facts and Something Rumors. It's about Lashon Hara. Suggests something fascinating. And he says, maybe, even according to Rambam, Lashon Hara is usur because it's not really true. Meaning what? He said, one of the things we've learned from modern psychology is that people function based on, if you've read Kahneman, you know this, right? A lot of what we do is based on heuristics, right? Is mental shorthands. And among the most famous mental shorthands that we have are the devil effect and the halo effect. These have been extensively documented. What are the devil effect and the halo effect? That first impressions shape forever the way I think about somebody else, right? It's very hard to undo it. So if my first impression of David is good, right?
Oh, fine. Come on, Revy.
Fine. If my first impression of Moshe is good, right? Then even if Moshe then does something which is questionable, I'm more likely psychologically to interpret what he did in a positive light. Or even if he does something which is unambiguously negative, I'm more likely to give the benefit of the doubt. Oh, he had a bad day, and still think of him as a good person. Right? Whereas if David, my first interaction with David was negative, and even if for the rest of my life everything David does is positive, it takes a lot for me to think of it as negative. And I'm more likely to look at ambiguous things or maybe even positive things that, oh, everyone has good days, but like, he's a bum. Right? So Rai Feldman says, that once you recognize that insight about psychology, saying that Lashon Hara is true is a very questionable statement. Because let's say that I say something negative about David to Nadav. And Nadav's never met David. Okay? Now, it might be totally true, but it's unfair. David's a good guy. It happened to be at a bad day, and I shared that with Nadav. But now, the first impression Nadav has of David is negative, which means that the next interaction he has, psychologically, he's primed, because of the devil effect, to understand it in a negative light.
So it's like
saying two facts at all. So it's not just first impressions, right? But more broadly, it just means that everything that we say about somebody affects the way we think, right? The way we interpret them in the future, right? Meaning the most extreme are the first impressions. But in general, the devil effect and halo effect say that nothing that we see is judged in light only of what we see at that moment. Everything is in light of that story that we have. So therefore, Rai Feldman says, it's a mistake to think of sharing true information as being true. Because if I say something bad about David, even if he did do that, but that's not a fair representation of who he is, right? Then not only when I tell Eli about David, or Nadav and Eli, is it now, do they know this negative information? It means that it unfairly, potentially, shapes the way they view him in the future when he's not doing anything wrong, right? So Rai Feldman suggests that even according to the Rambam, it's not 100% obvious that Lashon Hara is usur despite the fact that it's true, but that because of how human psychology works, no information that you say about somebody doesn't have inherent in it the potential to cause someone else to have a false impression about that person. It just doesn't, because every piece of data we have shapes the way we think about them. Right? And therefore, that's why he calls it Lashon Hara, false facts. Right? That the problem with Lashon Hara isn't, despite that it's true, it is a fact. But facts can be false because of the effect that they have on the way people view people. And again, in the world of social media and the like, this insight is super important. Because the point is, even if I know the information, right? And I would go back and be mechadesh. You could even read this. You could expand this from the Rambam, right? I mean, the Rambam says, fundamentally, if I'm not planning on spreading it further, it's not Lashon Hara. But what does that mean, right? Let's say I don't plan on telling it to anybody else, but I'm saying something and I'm repeating it over and over again with the intent of changing the way you think about them. Now, the information is true, right? But I know that right now, right, you think of this person in a positive light, but if I repeat and pick up the same negative information, which is true, but I harp on it over and over and over again, I'm going to change your mind. Can you really say that according to the Rambam, that's not legaloto yuter? I mean, sure, I'm not telling anything you don't know, but my intent, right, is to shape, right, to make you think of that person in a worse way so that the next thing he does, you suspect them, right? I do think that Ray Feldman's insight is very important because, right, what it means, legaloto yoter, is very complicated in a world where we know that one of the reasons we share information is not necessarily to say something new, but it is to shape the way people think about them. It is, right, so that the next time you think about this person is negative, right? That, the recognition that you can do that, I think really opens up new. Even within, again, is it what the Rambam meant in the words? No. But conceptually speaking, that according to the Rambam, the key to Bab Mitlata is I'm allowed to say something if I'm not doing anything more than it was already done. Well, here I am, right? If I'm harping on it, I say every day, right? So you asked me about, you know, if X political commentator is repeating this negative information over and over and over again to undermine someone, right? To make you think negatively of them. Even if you know the information, can you really say that, assuming there's not other justifiable reasons for it, right? Which is a whole other discussion, Toilet and the like, right? Meaning, sure, if, right, plausibly in politics, you could say that certain things are Toilet. And that's a story for another time, right? Which is, I'm sharing this political fact with you over and over because I don't want you to forget it because it's very dangerous for this person, all the other things that he does. I need you to know that this is something you want to vote against. Okay, we could argue that there are cases, right? But assuming we're not dealing with that and we're just dealing with someone who's insulting someone over and over again, in order to undermine that personality, can you really say that the fact that I've said this information to the same audience over and over is not legaloto yoter? You are deepening it.
I'm going against what I'm saying, because if you're saying that by saying something negative, you've now changed someone's characterization, then that means that anything you say in hand.
So I understand that I'm not saying according to the Rambam, but again, there's still a difference, right? Meaning, if I just say, did you hear about X, and I don't get into it, right, and I assume that you probably did hear about it, I don't know how much I changed it, but clearly...
Who's talking about that? What? Who's just going to think, you hear about X, and then moving on?
No, I understand, but, like, still, the...
Right, no, we're saying the same thing. It's like, no one really does that. When you say that, you're...
Right, now, like, again, sometimes...
No, even if you do that...
No, meaning sometimes, yes, right? Like, are there times when, like, sure, like, I mean, at this point, I don't think anyone's trying to make you think less of Richard Nixon. So, sure. If you say Watergate, right, like, just besides for David, everyone else sort of knew what that was, more or less, right?
No, you're a shunt.
We're asking you
on us. Right? Or whatever, right? I'm not, like, bringing it up. Like, if I'm talking about Watergate, I'm not doing it so you think less of Richard Nixon, right? It's like, if you ask me, right, very simply, why is every scandal in America called something gate, right? Pizza gate, this, whatever, right? All these crazy gates, right? What? That was an actual thing, pizza gate. Right? Then bridge gate, right? All the different gates that we had, right? And someone just asked me, why is it gate? Why is everything gate? And I say, well, because it's... Because everything is borrowed because Watergate is the classic scandal in American history. I'm not like saying it so you think worse of Nixon. I'm just like telling you. Now, the fact is, it's something everyone knows. So there are times where like Everyone knows. I'm not spreading it farther. I'm explaining to you why everything is gate. Yalla. Great. Right? So there, you could say, okay, that's Babei Klotz. It's already known. It's mutter. Right? But if I'm repeating it to shape your... Like, that's what I am doing it. Right? I'm repeating, right? I'm taking this clip and I'm playing it for you over and over and over and over again. Right? This gaffe by the politician over and over again. What? So I just want to throw that out to... Guys, I just wanted to throw that out to think about it. Right? Because in addition to the fact that we're dealing with things that are already public, but also the way things are shared on social media, right? And in digital media in general, it's not just sharing, right? And even if you're not reaching a new audience, which often you are, but you're, right, you're sharing in the way you are often in order to, right, to dig in, to really change, even if it's the same information for the millionth time. I think if you have a Rambam-esque position, maybe not the Rambam, I don't know, you know, I think you really got to wonder, right, whether that's not Lashon Hara just because the person happens to know the detail that you are sharing, right, and has seen that, right, video of that gaffe by that politician, right, 10 times. But still, the fact that, or one time, the fact they saw it one time doesn't change the fact that every single time they make another mistake, right, you share it, right? We know that that's how late night comedians or political commentators, that's what they'll do. A politician they don't like, he makes a mistake. Instead of talking about the mistake on its own terms, they'll say, right,
what an
right,
idiot.
Right? What an idiot. And then they'll play the 20 gaffes from Joe Biden that they, right, that remind you, right?
Look how many times we can play falling down this day over and over.
Exactly, right? People do that. And you're going to tell me, right? You're going to tell me, right? Are you going to tell me that the fact that people have seen that video again, you're not doing something different? You're not trying? I really wonder, right, that within the Rambam's model, whether that's honest to say that it's already public, right? I think we need to think carefully about the fact in which the way we share things, the number of ways we share it, and how we share it, sometimes even when the information is known, it's still trying to transform people and make them think unfairly about other people, right? It's hard to say that it's not in the Rambam's model of Legalota Yoter, right? It's a qualitative Legalota Yoter, right? And again, that works with Rav Shapira's argument, right? Rav Shapira said, look, just because I know it, if it fell out of the news cycle and I bring it back, it's usur, right? That's what he's saying. He's saying the fact that it's known in the back of your mind doesn't change the fact that sometimes sharing something you know is doing something new, right? So they talk about it simply, I forgot about it. But I'm saying it's not just forgot about it, right? It's not the front of my mind, right? Or I wasn't linking all these gaffes together, and you're doing that for me. So even though I knew about this, this, and this, the fact that you're playing this reel over and over again, you're clearly trying to do something, right? So I hope that answers a little bit of your question, Dofi, right?
How many risks do you have on that?
I
still need to know about the Jew or non-Jew. I feel like that's very shy.
So obviously at a formal halakhic level, the Jew and non-Jew thing is going to be important. But remember, and I'll just leave you with this. Even if you were to conclude that Lashon Hara formally does not apply to non-Jews, right? So about non-Jews. So remember, the more you think, like the Rambam, that is about Hilchot Deot,
right?
This is about your character, right? It's not just about, right? If you think, when we think about damages, right? So then, are there differences? Yes, we have higher standards in terms of what we demand from, that's true, right? But, A, when you're dealing with the level of Deot, and even if you're dealing with the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law, right? Definitely, if you're talking on the level of Deot, are you a, let's, like, really, do you think someone has good Deot, good Midot, if they spend all their time saying Lashon Hara? They're like, look, I'm very from, I will never say it, I will check whether the person is Jewish. So I will not speak badly, right? I will not speak badly about Bernie Sanders because he's Jewish. I will just spend my entire day, right, speaking badly about every other politician that I don't like, right? And in a Hanami, there are plenty of American politicians I will not be allowed to talk about, right? So I will, right? I will have to figure out. I will not be allowed to. Well, I know it's a little bit of a problem, right? I won't be able to talk, right? I won't be able to talk about like, right? I won't be able to talk about like Chuck Schumer, and I won't be able to talk about, you know, Michael Bloomberg, and I won't be able to talk about Ilana Kagan, and I won't be able to, what? I don't know. I'm trying to think. Is there a Republican? Wait, is there a Jewish Republican?
It's Rand Kushner.
Yes, right. Thank you. Thank you. Right. Right. Or Jared Kushner
or Lieberman's an independent.
So in Lieberman, right? I won't talk about any of them, but I'll talk. Okay. Let's not talk about it. Let's not talk about Israeli politics. Israeli politics, there's very little you could do, right? Yes. Yes. It's on, what is it? It's now Friday because it's after midnight. So it's on Tuesday. Okay. Guys, those are my initial thoughts anyways on this.